You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty Father, by the power and grace of your Holy Spirit, I pray that we would see and hear, know and trust, love, worship, and glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A member of our church played football at a major ACC program. He told me a story about graduation day, how all of the football teams sat together. So the moment came when they took off their caps and they threw them in the air, and there was joy and jubilation and celebration. And he noticed something strange next to him. He had a teammate who was weeping. He was crying his eyes out while everyone else was celebrating. And so he asked his teammate, you know, what is going on? And the teammate said, this graduation means that I will never have to go back to that old place. The old place that he was talking about is Camden, New Jersey, his hometown, which from 2002 to 2011 was rated one of the 10 most dangerous cities every year. And in three of those years, it was rated the single most dangerous city in all of America. And so he was saying that he never had to go back to a place that he associated with death and violence and trauma and poverty. Today is not about the old. It's not about old places. It's about the new, right? It's Christmas season. It's New Year's Eve. Tonight, people will sing and make New Year's resolutions and say goodbye to 2023 and rock into 2024 with a new hope and a new zest. But in reality, the turning of the page of the new year will only carry us so far. The renewal and zest of 23 becoming 24 will run out of power and meaning. And the reason that it will lose steam is because we will all have to go back to old places. You may have to go back to a workplace or to a community where there is difficulty and stress. You may have to go back to a family where there is dysfunction or relationships with neighbors where there is tension. All of us will go back into the same flesh with all its baggage and temptations and sin. So real sustainable hope comes not from looking forward to January the 1st, but from looking back to December 25th. The coming of Christ brings real hope, and it delivers something that is truly new, something substantive that we can turn to every day for renewal and hope. It is renewal that is not tied to cliches and empty promises, but is tied to a new place, which Christ has ushered in with his coming to the earth. Now, Luke and Matthew, in their Gospels, they begin their incarnation narratives with the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. But the Apostle John, in John chapter 1, he begins his incarnation narrative way, way back at the creation of the world. And he does this for a reason that relates to the substantive hope that Christmas brings. John portrays the coming of Christ as the dawn of a new creation, the beginning of a total renewal of the old place, the old creation. So in John 1, Christ is portrayed as the creator of the old creation and simultaneously as the one who ushers in the new creation. And Jesus supplies the light and the life of this new spiritual creation, while he himself stands as the light and the life itself. And this new spiritual creation is all around us, and if you are in Christ, then you dwell within this new place. And so today I want to look at the new life offered in John 1 by first looking at Jesus' role in the old creation, second, Jesus' role in the new creation, and finally, Jesus' new hope in the old places. So the new creation brought about by the coming of Christ, it offers us hope of new life in the old places every day. So first, Jesus' role in the old creation. Now, in John 1, the apostle is essentially offering accounts of two separate creations, the old creation and the new creation that comes at Christmas. John opens his gospel with the phrase, in the beginning. This may ring a bell because this is how the Bible starts in Genesis 1. It's worth reading Genesis 1, 1 through 3, because so many of the words and themes in Genesis 1 are echoed in John chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. So God creates the world, and in his first action, he brings light into darkness. Then he goes on to inject life into plants and animals and human beings. And how does he bring this light and life into the world? He does it through his spoken word. So in John 1, verses 1 through 5, John portrays Jesus as the agent of the original creation. He first identifies him as the Word, that which was spoken by God to create the world. And this Word was God, and it was also with God, reinforcing that Jesus was the second person of the Trinity. And in verse 3, John writes, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So then in verses 4 and 5, he declares that the life and light emanate from Christ, and that his life came into the darkness. He says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So it's very clear what John is saying here in the first part of John 1. When we look back at the creation of the world, the light that came into the darkness, the life that invigorated animals and plants and people, the word that brought this all into being, it was Christ, and it all emanated from Christ. But we all know that the original creation has been marred by human sin. And while the beauty and goodness and glory of God's creation is still evident and we see it, sin has brought pain and corruption and death and hostility into the created world. And so when we talk about the old places in our life, the places that bring fear and that bring pain and that bring difficulty, all of those evidences of the old places come as a product of this broken relationship between man and God. And so sin necessitates that there be a renewal and a revival of the old creation. And so starting in verse 6, with the introduction of John the Baptist, the gospel writer moves from Jesus' role in the old creation to Jesus' role in the new creation, which is our second point. So the introduction of John the Baptist in verses 6 and 7 signals the announcement of something new. It signals the coming of a second creation, a new creation, which is a new place. The divine word, light, and life were coming into the darkness of the world. This is a different kind of darkness than what we see in Genesis 1, a darkness that was characterized by being void and chaotic and formless. This darkness that light was coming into in Christ was the darkness of human sin. And in the same fashion, however, Jesus brought light into the darkness. The light of his glory shined on and exposed the depth of human sin and evil, but the light of his glory shined with hope for sinners in need of forgiveness and for sufferers in need of healing. Jesus is the source of life. He breathed vitality into death, the byproduct of sin, and with the breath of his spirit, he breathed and continues to breathe life into dead hearts. Jesus breathes life into the old places. And as the Word, Christ reveals God in his most pure form. John says in verse 18, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So in the original creation, we know that God was present. We don't know exactly what the form was, but God was in the garden. And so here in the new creation, in the same way, Jesus comes in and reveals who God is. And through his coming into the world, his life, his light, his revelation, Jesus establishes a new creation. Initially, this new creation is spiritual in nature, but at the second coming of Christ, when Jesus comes again, it will become both spiritual and physical. And here's the most exciting news. In verse 12 through 13, John writes, "He gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." By repentance and faith in Christ, we can be born again into this new creation. Now, you've probably heard the term born again Christian. And oftentimes, secular people will use that term as if that's some unique sect of Christianity or that's some outlier type of Christian. The reality is that anyone who has put their faith in Christ has been spiritually reborn into the new creation. Jesus talks about this later in John chapter 3 in a conversation with Nicodemus. He says, "Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So we were all physically born into the old creation. But when you make Christ your Savior and your Lord through faith, you are reborn into this new spiritual creation. You now live in relationship with Christ. You live under his rule and his light and his care. And if this idea of like a new place, living in this new creation, is something that is foreign to you, you enter into it simply by asking Christ to forgive your sins and by declaring a desire to live in relationship with him. Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:12, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Well, this verse functions at two different levels. At one level, at the individual level, he's saying, if any person is in union with Christ, then that person is a new creation as an individual. But it's also functioning at a higher level, saying that if any person is in union with Christ, then you dwell in the new creation. This same Sunday, about 5 or 6 years ago, I had a student, we were doing icebreakers at Sunday school, and we were asking kids, you know, rose, bud, thorn, which is, you know, something good that happened this week, something bad that happened this week, and your bud is something that you're looking forward to. One of my old students here is laughing because we always used to play this game. But this student, when we asked here the Sunday before they went back to school, what was the bud, what was the thing she was looking forward to, she said summer. And she was a junior in high school, and if you know about being a junior in high school, there is so much pressure. There's so many academic demands. There's so much work put on students. And so the idea of going back to the old place, which for her was school, was so overwhelming that the only thing she could think about was surviving and getting to the other side of it. Going back to the old places, it becomes overwhelming when all that we can see is the old creation. When we consider the stress of work or the pain of certain relationships or physical difficulty or a grueling academic semester, when all we can see is the remnants of the fallen old creation, it crushes our heart and it creates despair. But a sense of hope and empowerment comes when we see that this new spiritual creation that Christ has brought through Christmas. It comes when we realize that this spiritual creation, it exists over and above that old creation. A friend that I talked to a couple of weeks ago expressed to me all the anxiety that she experiences when she goes home for Christmas. She lives in a different city than her parents, and she grew up in a household that had all the finest ingredients of dysfunction. Parents who fought financial struggles, performance pressure, adultery, addiction, mental illness, divorce. And she said that this is why I love and need Jesus. Because when I go back to the old place for the holidays, I go back with Christ in me. I go back under the light of Jesus, and I can handle it. The old creation is here to stay until the second coming of Christ. We cannot avoid it. We live in the old place. So going back to school or going back to college or going back to an old job, if you're a teacher, going back to a grind of the semester where there's no way out, if you're a lawyer, going back to the practice where you have zero billed hours and there are 2,000 left to go, it is daunting. But while we live in the old creation, Jesus has come into the world and he has established the new creation. And we live in that place too. And if you are in Christ, you will live in the new creation forever. And no matter how overwhelming or daunting the life of the old creation may be, Christ dwells in your heart. And you live under the light of Jesus, and you can feed on Christ and find life in the old places. And it's even more than that. A lot of times we think about the old places as just a thing to survive, a season to get through. Remember that football player that I talked about at the beginning who didn't want to go back to Camden, New Jersey? Do you know where he is now? He is a teacher and a football coach in Camden, New Jersey. He has gone back into the old place redemptively. And so we don't just survive the old places. Life in the new creation in Christ means that we are empowered to live hopefully and redemptively in the old places. And so here's the hope for the new year. No matter what lies ahead, Jesus and the new creation lie ahead of you in the old place. You can live your life with hope and peace. You can live with joy and redemption no matter what you encounter in the old places, because Christ is there waiting for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.